The Gospel of Luke begins with the story of the angel Gabriel appearing to an aged priest while he was in the temple performing the incense offering. Gabriel told Zechariah that he and his barren wife, Elizabeth, would have a child who would make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Elizabeth became pregnant. We pick up at the story at verse 26 of Luke 1. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And Gabriel came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Well, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Sometimes the pastor completely forgets that he's supposed to read the second half of Psalm 85 before the gospel reading. So fortunately, the bulletin is not scripture, and we can just adapt. So hear God's word from Psalm 85. "Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps away." Let's pray. O Christ, the prophets foretold your coming. The poor longed to see you. The heavens celebrated your birth. The apostles, the martyrs, and the faithful down through the ages repeated the angel song. Your church praises you in every human language, for she has seen your salvation. Son of God, you humbled yourself and became a servant, raising us up to share in your glory. We were in darkness, and you have given us light and strength, peace and joy. Lead us according to your loving will. Make us a people who follow you in holiness. Give us generous hearts to hear your word and produce in us abundant fruit through the power of your Spirit. Amen. So we talk a lot, and rightfully, about Christianity being good news. not a system of rules or advice that you have to follow, but good news about what has happened. Sometimes good news takes a while to sink in. The fact that the news is good doesn't really hit home at first. I found out that I was a father in a dorm room on the campus of Northern Arizona University. We were visiting my younger brother, Josh, who's here today, and we were stopping by his dorm to see the room and pick up some stuff, and learned that Haley, our oldest daughter, was on the way. Now, look, the Bible is very clear that children are a blessing, and that finding out that you're a father is good news. And even more than that, specifically for Vanessa and I, we had both always wanted to be parents and had talked constantly about becoming parents. So this is good news. But we were 23 years old, which is, you know, by the way, about 10 years older than Mary was when she got good news, but still seemed pretty young to us. I had a job as a carpenter's helper making $11.82 an hour. I remember that figure vividly because it became very specific and real to me as I contemplated being a father. Vanessa was working as a waitress at the local pizza restaurant and was also enrolled in grad school. We didn't have health insurance. It didn't immediately hit me as good news. It took a while for the goodness of the news to sink in. And by a while, I mean months. Easily into the second trimester before. Oh, this is good. It has been really wonderful news. I mean, Haley is here. She's beautiful, and we adore her, and we love being parents more than we thought we would. It has been one of the best things for us as husband and wife to be doing this together. Finding out that I was a father was very good news. It just took a while for me to catch up to that reality. Our story this morning is a story of Mary getting good news, but needing a little while to catch up, to recognize the goodness of the news. She doesn't immediately hear it as good news. At first, she hears it as, oh, but eventually she gets here, and God, in his grace, takes his time with her. He's patient with her as she catches up. And so we're gonna go through this story, which is really a back and forth between the angel Gabriel and Mary. He speaks, and then she responds. He speaks, and then she responds. And we're going to track that and see God in his grace taking his time as Mary catches on to the fact that Gabriel is delivering good news. So Gabriel will speak grace, and Mary's first response will be fear. And then Gabriel will speak grace, and Mary will respond then with doubt. And then finally, Gabriel will speak grace, and Mary will respond in faith, in recognition, oh wait, you're sharing good news with me. And we want to track that back and forth, the speaking and the responding. So the story begins with Gabriel showing up and saying to Mary, "Greetings, O favored one, for the Lord is with you." And I want to kind of unpack what's happening there. But before we get into what Gabriel means, try for a second to put yourself in Mary's shoes. We don't know if she was in the middle of doing laundry or her knees were sore from an hour-long prayer session. That's not clear. But one way or another, Gabriel, the angel of the Lord, just shows up. You know, as happens to us on a regular basis. Every day I'm doing the dishes, and then all of a sudden, there's Gabriel, and he has more things to tell me. No, she was not in any way prepared for this. She wasn't ready for this to happen. She wasn't looking for it. The text is very clear that this is God's initiative. Gabriel comes from God and just appears in the bedroom or by the well or we don't know where, but right there in front of Mary and says, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And what Gabriel is doing is announcing the presence of grace. Gabriel is announcing to Mary the presence of grace. This, that, O favored one, in Greek, it's one who has received grace. One who's been given grace. And grace is a huge theological word, but most fundamentally it means a gift. It is something that someone gives to you. That's why we say you're being gracious when you give something to someone. And Gabriel is telling Mary, hey, you've been given something. And then he makes it more specific, because, you know, like that could mean a tie that she's never going to wear, right? Or it could mean something very different. He says, no, what the grace is that the Lord is with you. The gift of grace that you're receiving is actually not a something, it is a someone. And this is important. God's grace to us is first and most fundamentally and finally God. He gives himself. He comes to be with us. This is the kind of grace that Gabriel is announcing to Mary. And this is the best and most important kind of grace. I was thinking about last Christmas when we gave a lot of gifts, little graces in my family. And it actually took me a couple of days to remember what I gave Vanessa. Because it was a thing. It wasn't that big deal. I gave her boots, right? And they're nice boots. She's giving me the, good job, you know, right? They had, you know, actual lamb's wool, and I think they came from New Zealand, which I don't really know why, but gives me sort of a sense of, you know, it's going to last, and craftsmanship. I have no idea where I got that from, probably from watching Lord of the Rings. But it was boots, right? It's a good gift. On the other hand, my mom got Vanessa plane tickets to go and visit some of her friends, to spend several days actually with them in the presence of people she loves and who love her. It did not take me 2 days to remember Mom's gift to Vanessa because it was way better than mine. And they're pretty good boots. But they're not nearly as good as 4 days just with nothing to do but be with people you love and who love you. The best kind of gifts, even on a human level, are people, are to be with one another. And God is interested in giving us the best possible gift, not just another human being, but himself to be with us. And this is what Gabriel is announcing to Mary, not just grace in general, something nice, but grace particular, someone, God himself, to be with us. So Gabriel announces the presence of grace to Mary. Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. And Mary says, hi, my name's Mary. It's nice to meet you. What's your name? This is really nice of you. No. She freaks out. It says in the text, I'm going to get this exactly right, I think that she was greatly troubled and trying to discern. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Mary reacts like a normal person when an angel shows up and starts talking to you. She loses it. She's terrified. And she's confused about what's going on. Mary's response to God's initial overture of grace to her is fear. Her response is, wait, what? What is happening? And look, most of us have not had an angel show up. and just start talking to us like this. Our experience of grace, such as it is different from Mary's. It isn't exactly like this, but it is in a lot of ways the same. If God in His grace is giving Himself to you, that's scary. And it's confusing. Because God isn't showing up to be the mascot of your life. He's not showing up to be your cheerleader and give you a little extra boost in doing what you were already doing. Mary doesn't know yet. She hasn't gotten the details, but Gabriel is there to mess with her life. She has a pretty good thing going. By all accounts, she's betrothed to Joseph, who seems to be a really good guy. She's going to get married to him. He's got a stable job. He's a carpenter. They're going to make babies together and live in Nazareth, and things are going to be pretty good. You know, the Galilean dream. They're going to make it happen. And Gabriel shows up not to sort of give her an extra push in that direction, but to completely change everything. Right? Congratulations, I'm here to tell you that you get to be pregnant out of wedlock in a small conservative town. Hope that goes well. And then after that, you get to raise a baby who, when he's two and says, "You're not the boss of me," he'll actually be right. Which he does in the Gospels, right? He gets lost at the temple, and Mary has a normal mom moment of, "Where did you go? What's happening?" And she's like, "I'm not accountable to you. I was hanging out with my dad." Right? This, parenting him was not a dream. And then she gets to watch him die. Gabriel's there to announce the presence of grace in Mary's life, but he's not there to announce, hey, things are going to be simple and easy and comfortable and smooth. And so Mary's reaction of fear and confusion is the right one. And it should be our first reaction too. The Bible says again and again and again that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, if you are sometimes afraid or uncertain about having God alive and at work in your life, not entirely sure you really want it, confused about where it's leading, I want to encourage you that, like Mary, you are having a wise reaction to grace. You're actually in a pretty good place. If you're starting off of, I am not comfortable with this. I had a plan. That's an indication that grace is actually beginning to work in your heart and in your life. On the other hand, I want to warn you that if you think you have a fairly comfortable relationship with grace, if you own a Jesus is my homeboy t-shirt, that's actually an indication of the absence of grace in your life. It is the people who think, yeah, we're good, who have a casual attitude toward God, who respond to the announcement of God's grace for them with, like, yeah, I know. Those are the folks who don't understand what's happening. If you think your initial reaction is, okay, cool, that's nice news, you're not grasping the length and breadth and height and depth of what God means by grace, of what it means for Him to give Himself to you. But Mary does. She has some sense of what's going on. She's wise enough, aware enough, to be a little terrified of what God might do with her life. And the angel Gabriel responds like this is the appropriate reaction. He doesn't get mad or upset or impatient. He just keeps speaking grace. And this time, he speaks particularly to the hope of grace. So the angel, he begins speaking again in verse 30. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." he's basically restating what he already said. The big difference is that he recognizes her fear, is patient with it, and he calls her by name. He makes it more personal. He just goes back over ground he's already covered. Hey, I'm here to let you know that God is giving grace to you. I think a lot of times we have the impression that God is more like ourselves and is sort of tapping his foot, exasperated with us while we get our act together. When are these people finally going to get it, right? I'm very naturally that way with my own children, whether it's, you know, potty training or learning to do a chore, I get impatient very quickly and want them to get on with it. And it's easy to think about God that way, like we're always one more screw up away from being on the outs with him. But God is patient in his grace. God takes his time with grace for us. He understands that we are slow to respond to grace. Grace, this idea of just giving of oneself, is counterintuitive to us. We think in terms of back and forth, in terms of quid pro quo, right? Most of us tomorrow morning will exchange gifts. We will exchange grace. I give something to you, you give something to me, and we're square, and we can walk away and both feel like it was a good interaction. And the grace God is giving is very different from that. We have done nothing to earn it, and we could never pay it back. And those kind of gifts, as good as they are, can make us a little uncomfortable. We don't necessarily like to get gifts we have no hope of ever paying back. Don't like the sense of the ledger being imbalanced. It takes a while to get used to grace. And God is patient with us while we do it. When I was in college, I played Frisbee basically constantly, especially during scheduled class times. And I'm left-handed, and I got very, very good at throwing a Frisbee with my left hand. And then I dove to catch one and landed with my left hand underneath my chest and folded my hand in half and tore ligaments in it. So I couldn't use my left hand for about 3 months. But I wasn't about to stop playing Frisbee, so I just started playing right-handed. And it didn't go so well, right? You're supposed to throw what's called a flick, which is this motion, right? And the way it works is this whole body coordinated motion. You step forward and go down into it, and you use your whole arm like a whip. And you can, if you do it right, you can make the Frisbee fly 70, 80 yards. So I got really good at that with my left hand. With my right hand, I look like a drunk Tyrannosaurus Rex. It took 3 months of doing this every day, and I got all the way to... Grace is like that. It takes a while. You're using muscles that haven't been used. You've been exercising your quid pro quo muscles your entire life, and God comes with something different. And he knows that, and so he's patient with us and keeps reiterating. Hey, I'm not here to make an exchange with you to get something back equal to the value of what I have to give you. I'm just going to give you myself. I'm going to be gracious with you. And then he gets really specific about what that's going to look like. This is when Mary gets the good news, the details that don't sound like good news. In verses 31, 32, and 33. Congratulations, Mary, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. Good luck with the rumors. And you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign forever over the house of Jacob. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Remember, first God said, the grace that I'm going to give you is me. And then he starts to make it real specific and concrete and right here in this world. I'm putting a baby in your womb, Mary. And he's going to be born and he will be the king to end all kings. He's going to rule forever. I'm not going to take you to every place, but Gabriel is invoking basically every important prophecy of the Messiah in the Old Testament. In several different places, in 2 Samuel, in Daniel, there's the anticipation that one day God is going to send a good king. There's lots of kings in the Old Testament, and they fall into the categories of horrible and not that bad. There's lots of leaders, and they fall into the categories of totally faithless and, yeah, okay. But there's this sense that one day a good king will come. For to us a child is born, for to us a son is given. And he shall be called Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end. This is what Gabriel is talking about. The gift that I'm giving you, the grace that I'm giving you, is a king. A real ruler, a good ruler. Every single person and every single group of people need a good ruler. We don't want that. We have so much experience with the options being terrible and not that bad when it comes to authority. We don't really want any part of that, but we know this. We know that every child needs good parents to lead them. We know that every classroom needs a good teacher, that every company needs a good manager, that every city and state and nation needs good town council members and state senators and presidents and judges. We know it if for no other reason than we see how bad it is when things go awry. And God is sending Gabriel not just to announce that Mary is going to be personally rescued from all this mess that we live in and taken away to heaven, but that God is going to be with her and is going to give to her and to all of us the kind of ruler we need. An actually good king. Someone who will actually lead us and exercise authority over us for our good forever. This is the hope of grace, the hope of God giving himself to us. That everything that is wrong will be put to right, that everything that is upside down will be turned back right side up, that everything that is unjust will be made just, that every valley will be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low, and the uneven ground shall become level and the rough places a plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. This is the hope of grace that Gabriel has come to announce. That the Lord is with you to fix it all, to heal everything, to make us as we should be. And Mary, she receives this news. And, I mean, Mary's at the bottom of every totem pole, right? She's a woman in a society that doesn't care about women. She's a young in a society that cares about age. She's the wrong race. She's from the wrong part of the wrong region of Israel. She's at the bottom. This is woohoo hallelujah stuff. But Mary doesn't respond that way. Mary's response is one of doubt. She is initially somewhat skeptical that this is just flat out too good to be true. Verse 34, and Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" It's a pretty straightforward question, right? You know, I may be young, but they started health classes early in my school. I know how this works. You can't do that. That's not the birds and the bees. It's impossible. You can't make a woman pregnant without there being intercourse. And Mary knows this, just like you know this. And so she's a little reserved. That's a great story, Gabriel. It don't make no sense. What are you doing? Mary responds with doubt. All that stuff about a good king who's going to put everything to rights and repair every wrong and undo every injustice, man, that sounds good. Man, do we have a lot of history that says it ain't going to happen. We've known a lot of people that we thought, that's it. That's the president, that's the CEO, that's the department head, that's the pastor, that's the parent that's going to lead us to the promised land. And it always falls apart. We know how this works. We get our hopes up so that they will be dashed. And so we learn to be skeptical. We learn not to get our hopes up. We learn to doubt that the impossible will happen. And so does Mary. It's okay if you hear that story about a never-ending and good kingdom and think, really, I'm too old for Disney. I'm not buying it. Because you're right. Humanly speaking, it is impossible. Humanly speaking, it won't happen. Humanly speaking, virgins don't get pregnant. God calls upon his people in his grace to believe audacious things. And we would not be honest human beings if we didn't wrestle with them from time to time. He claims that he is going to do things that, in our experience, cannot be done. And so if you find yourself from time to time or from day to day wondering, really? You're really going to do this? You're going to fix all of this? Did you just watch the same news broadcast I just watched? Did you just attend the same family Christmas dinner I just attended? You're right there with Mary. You're right there where God's people have always been, wondering, is this really possible? Gabriel announces the presence of God's grace, and Mary responds in fear. Gabriel patiently continues to speak grace to her and announces the hope of God's grace, that there's going to be a good king, that he's coming to be born in you. And Mary responds with doubt. And God stays patient with her. And Gabriel keeps speaking grace. Verses 35, 36, and 37. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Look, when God's people doubt, when we earnestly try to wrap our heads around the magnitude of grace, and we go, I'm not quite there, God. I'm struggling. God has no problem with that. He hears us and he responds graciously. But his response to us is the same as the response he gives to Mary, which basically boils down to, look, I get that it's beyond you. Do you really think it's beyond me? I get that what I am saying is going to happen is humanly impossible. That apart from the normal way of things, you won't get pregnant. That's the way things work. But not with me. With me, nothing is impossible. I spoke the universe into being. If I want to put a baby in your belly, I'll do it. I will send out my Holy Spirit, and his power will overshadow yours. And what you are capable of will recede into the background. And what I am capable of will be made part of the foreground, will be magnified and made clear. And I will do what I have promised I will do. Let me tell you about the power of grace. With me, nothing is impossible. With me, virgins can become pregnant. With me, the weak can be made strong. With me, Republicans and Democrats can get along. With me, all things are possible. The power of the grace that is me with you is boundless. And let me tell you, it's for everyone. You want to know why he throws that thing in with Elizabeth? Because Mary is nothing like Elizabeth. Mary is this young girl, hasn't even graduated from middle school yet, probably. And her issue with how am I going to get pregnant is, well, you know, I haven't done it yet. Elizabeth is old. We don't know exactly how old, but old enough that everybody knows this isn't going to happen. She's had years and years and years of the normal way of things, of chances to get pregnant, and it hasn't happened. Mary is a poor peasant girl in a backwater town. Elizabeth is married to one of the priests. She's at least upper middle class. The two situations are completely different, except that they're both humanly impossible. And in both cases, God's grace is enough. The power of God's grace is enough. There are a million different wrongs that need to be righted, and human beings will never be able on our own to right them. There are a million different wounds that need to be healed, and it is beyond our power to heal them. And they look nothing alike, except this. We can do nothing about them. They are beyond us. But they are not beyond God. With Him, nothing is impossible. With Him, the power of grace can make all things new. And this is what Gabriel has come to announce to Mary, and this is what God has always been announcing to us. And finally, Mary catches up. She makes her way through fear, through confusion, through doubt, and finally, at the end of this exchange, arrives at faith. Finally, Mary responds in faith. But this is important. Her faith, it looks a little different than we tend to think faith looks. What does Mary say? Behold, I am your servant. Let it be to me according to your word. This is a statement of faith. Notice, it doesn't say, I believe, I assent to the idea that Jesus is going to come and die in my place and then I'll be forgiven. It's not about, okay, fine, I accept the reality of grace. It's not a statement of assent or acceptance, it's a statement of submission. Faith doesn't say, behold, I believe you. Faith says, behold, God, I am your servant. Let it be to me according to your word. I acknowledge that you are here, that you have given the presence of your Son and of your Spirit, that you have given grace to me. But not to be my mascot, to be my captain. Not to be my cheerleader, to be my king. And so I will follow you. Mary's got to have thoughts swirling in her head of what this is going to mean, of how she's going to explain this to her mother, to Joseph, to whom she is engaged, to all of her friends. What is the rest of my life going to look like? I don't know. But I'm going to have faith. I'm going to trust in God's grace. I'm asking that it be to me, not according to my word, not according to my plan, not according to my ideas, but according to His. I will submit to Him. I will give it all over to Him. This is the proper, the only appropriate final response to God's grace, is faith. God is giving himself to you. He's coming to you as he came to Mary and saying, I will be with you. Patiently, lovingly, I will stay with you. The only way to respond is with Mary's kind of faith, with submission, with the actual life-giving trust. I hand it all over to you. You're here to be king, that means I don't get to be king anymore. You're here to be boss, that means I'm not the boss. And all of my plans, all of my hopes, all of my dreams, all of my designs for life, I get to hold loosely now. Because they may or may not be your plans. They may or may not be the grace that you're giving to me. Let it be according to your word. Wherever you came from this morning, wherever you are, when it comes to moving from fear and confusion to doubt to faith. Or maybe you're way back at hostility or indifference. For all of us, the announcement and the invitation are the same. God is announcing to us what Gabriel announced to Mary. Behold, you have been given grace. God himself is here to be with you. In him is hope that evil will be overcome and death itself will be undone. In him is power for these things to happen. This is what God has always been announcing to his people and always will be announcing. And the invitation is the same for all of us as well. It's an invitation to faith. Not to pray a quick prayer. Say, okay, I accept you as my Savior. Now can I get on with my life? But to hand your entire life over to the gracious God of the world who would be with you. To say to him, behold, I will be your servant. Let it be to me according to your word. I want you to run the show. I want you to hold the authority. I want you to lead me. I don't know where. I'm not putting my trust in my plans anymore. I'm putting my trust in you. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, Christianity is good news. It is a news. It is an announcement of what God has done and is doing, and it is good. And if you're not quite caught up on the good part, you're right where God's people have long been. I promise you, the goodness is there. It is real. Respond as God's people have always been called to respond. Respond in the only way we can rightly respond to grace. Respond with faith. Respond by putting your trust in God first, in God most, in God last. Put your trust in Jesus, the good King. Be his servants. There's no better way to live. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for yourself. We thank you for your patient, relentless love for us, the lengths to which you've gone to be with us. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to be with us in our fear. That you would continue to be with us in our doubts, and that your grace would give birth to faith in us. That your Holy Spirit would come upon us and your power would overshadow ours, and we would put our trust and our hope in you, in the power of grace. Lord, give us strength. Give us faith to say with Mary, "Behold, we are your servants. Let it be to us according to your word." In the name of Jesus, our good King, we pray. Amen.